This show is dedicated to the memory and honor of Charles R. Thomas.
Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy You. It's great to have you with us this morning. My name is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Selves Magazine. And our guest this morning is Dr. Francois Geoffroy. Dr. Geoffroy is a medical and neuro-oncologist with Illinois Cancer Care. And he will be discussing the very interesting topic of brain tumors and brain cancer, something that not many of us, including myself, have a lot of knowledge. But before we get started, let me please share with you some of Dr. Geoffroy's impressive background. After receiving his medical training and degree out east, Dr. Geoffroy completed a fellowship in medical oncology at the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland, and later joined Illinois Cancer Care in 1994. Now, something special to note is that he has completed a one-year neuro-oncology fellowship at the Robert Tisch Brain Tumor Center at Duke University Medical Center. Dr. Geoffroy is the only oncologist hematologist outside of the Chicago and St. Louis markets to have completed this prestigious fellowship program. Completion of this fellowship allows Dr. Geoffroy to bring the latest knowledge in treatment of brain tumors back to Illinois Cancer Care. So literally, it's in our own backyard. And some of you might be wondering, well, what is Illinois Cancer Care? Well, Illinois Cancer Care is a leader in one of the largest cancer treatment centers in the region. It provides the most up-to-date cancer treatment therapies with over 100 ongoing clinical trials and over 28 different cancer types. And Dr. Geoffroy, as part of this terrific organization, has some great information to share with us this morning. So let's get started. So welcome to the show, Dr. Geoffroy.
Well, welcome. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, your background is really terrific, and so it's so neat to have you here. And my first question is, how many tumors and cancers are found in the brain yearly in the USA?
So the majority of tumors and cancers in the brain will have originated at a site outside the brain. Mm-hmm. Lung cancer represents maybe 100,000 cases a year, breast cancer, melanoma. The primary brain tumors, which is the focus for this morning, represents roughly 75,000 cases per year, mm-hmm. of which roughly 25,000 will be the malignant brain cancers.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's touch base very quickly because some of our listeners might be thinking, what is malignant? And we hear benign and malignant used simultaneously. So could you clarify for us?
Yes. So when we talk about malignant brain tumors, we are talking chiefly about infiltrating cancers.
Okay.
The largest category would be the gliomas, mm-hmm. of which the glioblastoma is by far the most common. Benign lesions would be meningiomas, schwannomas, which do not have invasive potential, although at times these lesions can also cause some serious symptoms, mm-hmm. and serious effects on our patients.
Mm-hmm. You know, before we ask some more questions about the brain cancer, brain tumors and things, what would be some of the symptoms one might have that they would experience?
Well, the symptoms will vary considerably depending on several factors. The first would be the location, mm-hmm. As different brain areas are responsible for different functions, and therefore you may have different symptoms, and also the rate of growth of the lesion. So, for example, if we had a 35-year-old patient with a low-grade 2 astrocytoma, statistically, the most common presenting symptom would be a seizure.
Okay.
You wouldn't expect necessarily to have much in the way of nausea, vomiting, headaches, mm-hmm. but a seizure would be the most common. For our patients with the more typical glioblastoma, which is fairly fast-growing, aggressive lesion, headaches, personality changes, mm-hmm. Symptoms that may make the family concerned that maybe their loved one is having a stroke or another neurological symptom. It could be a speech impediment.
Okay.
Although more in the form of perhaps having difficulty finding the proper word, mm-hmm. Misunderstanding, mm-hmm. A weakness of one side or the other. So with the more aggressive lesions, you can have what are called focal symptoms. The right hand, the arm doesn't work well, the speech doesn't work well, the walking, there's something wrong with the person's capabilities to function.
Mm-hmm.
At times, people notice that they just don't make a whole lot of sense, can't balance the checkbook, their driving is not very good. There could be a variety of symptoms, again, which depend on location and also the rate of growth of the lesion itself.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting, and thank you for clarifying that. Now, how many of the tumors and cancers found in the brain originate in the brain?
So roughly, again, of the 280,000 cases per year, about 75,000 of those will actually originate in the brain.
Okay. And then how many are primary brain tumors and cancers versus cancers that have spread to the brain?
So roughly 40% or so, 40% originate.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting point is that whereas lung cancer can spread to several organs, lung, lymph glands, liver, bones, and brain, majority of the primary brain cancers will remain confined to the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So they do not, as a rule, spread to the liver or the bones, which is a little bit different than most other cancers, the breast cancers, the colon cancers, and lung cancers, which have a predilection to spread to several sites.
Uh-huh, right. And is it more predominant in males than females? Or
For some different subtypes, there can be slightly different ratio male to female. So meningiomas are felt to be perhaps somewhat more common in females, but other primary brain lesions may be slightly more common in males.
Mm-hmm.
As a rule, it's fairly close.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how many of the primary brain lesions are benign versus malignant?
So roughly a third of the primary brain lesions are malignant.
Okay.
Cancerous.
Mm-hmm. Right, as compared to not. And what is the incidence of the brain tumors and cancers in the USA? You're great on statistics here.
Oh, you mean the odds of developing?
Mm-hmm.
So I think for all lesions combined, 20 cases per 100,000.
Wow.
Give or take.
Mm-hmm.
But for the malignant, it's roughly 6.5 cases per 100,000.
Mm-hmm. And what are the most common brain cancers?
So the most common large category, the gliomas, make up the vast majority of the malignant primary brain lesions, of which the astrocytomas are roughly 2/3 of all those cases. And of the astrocytomas, half of all the malignant lesions of the brain are actually the glioblastoma, which is, again, it's actually known as a grade 4 astrocytoma, glioblastoma, a glioblastoma multiforme, a GBM. Those are actually four terms that describe the same lesion, which is, again, is by far the most common lesion that we come across.
Mm-hmm. And would symptoms for something like this, and this is just to digress a little bit, but are these symptoms that come on slowly if somebody has a brain cancer, or does it happen very quickly, or does it just depend?
So for the more aggressive, for the glioblastomas, the average person you would expect would perhaps have symptoms 2-3 months. So it's actually a fairly rapid onset. Now, in hindsight, someone may go back and say, you know, 4 or 5 months ago, something was a little bit different. Now I remember it. I can see it. But as a rule, the symptoms are fairly short duration. For some of the slower growing lesions, some lesions, for example, might affect the temporal lobe, where you may have some very odd low-level seizure activity in the form of bad smells. They're never good smells. They're always bad smells. And somebody would say, I smell bad things that no one else smells, burning rubber.
Really?
And in retrospect, you can go back on somebody after they're found to have a temporal lobe lesion and say, you know, they may have been suffering from some low-level seizure activity related to this very slow-growing process, and it may have been present for actually quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting. You know, before we continue, we are going to take a quick break, and we are with Dr. Francois Geoffroy, the Illinois Cancer Center, and I am Kim Brooks-Miller, and we'll be right back.
When diagnosed with brain cancer, you need information, determination, and Illinois Cancer Care. Illinois Cancer Care is the only oncology provider outside the Chicago and St. Louis markets to offer a fellowship-trained neuro-oncologist for patients diagnosed with brain tumors. Trained at Tisch Brain Tumor Center at Duke University Medical Center, Dr. Francois Jeffois brings the latest knowledge in the treatment of brain tumors and cancers. To learn more about the treatments and services for patients with brain tumors, please visit IllinoisCancerCare.com. Groundbreaking research, life-saving care. Illinois Cancer Care, because life is precious.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. We are so fortunate today to have Dr. Francois Jeffois with us, who is with Illinois Cancer Center. And we are talking about brain cancer and also brain tumors, something that not a lot of us know about. And while we were taking our break, we were talking about the life expectancy. If somebody does not take heed to the signs they're seeing or get any kind of assistance or help or treatment, what would be the life expectancy, Dr. Francois?
So it will depend on, again, the nature, the histology of the tumor. If we are talking about the glioblastoma, untreated, the survival can be very brief, 2 to 4 months. The growth is fairly rapid. It's also almost always associated with a significant amount of swelling around the actual cancer cells. And that puts pressure on the brain itself and causes a significant amount of dysfunction. For the lower grade lesions, many of these may not be diagnosed for several years, actually. So the life expectancy would be considerably longer for the majority of those lesions. But the very aggressive glioblastomas, 2 to 4 months untreated.
Mm-hmm. And also to share with the listening audience what you were sharing with me about the southpaws and speaking and the brain and the right and left.
So majority of people are right-handed, and people as a rule have their speech centers centered on the left.
Mm-hmm.
But there are occasional people who have speech centers on the right, somewhat more left-handed people. And so if you are going to operate in the temporal lobe, the surgeon always likes to know that the exact location of the speech, and you'd sort of hate to excise that particular area and cause the patient to have a deficit that would not be expected to improve whatsoever.
Right. Okay. Well, what is the distribution of brain cancers?
So there are different sections of the brain. We refer to them as lobes.
Mm-hmm.
There are also what's called supratentorial, and there's what's called infratentorial, which is the cerebellum.
Mm-hmm.
But the frontal lobe, which are the largest, will occupy the larger part of the brain and are the most common site from which one would expect a primary brain lesion, and probably represent about a quarter of the lesions in the frontal lobes. The temporal lobes will take roughly another 20%, the parietal lobes about 13%, and the other areas will occupy the remainder of the lesions. But the larger lobes tend to have the largest distribution of lesions. Now, certain histologies enjoy certain areas. Medulloblastomas will tend to occupy the area next to what's called the third and fourth ventricle, which is not far from the cerebellum. The glioblastomas, as a rule, somewhat more common in the frontal, temporal, and parietal lobes, and rarely in the occipital lobes. So there are some histologic differences as to the presentation of lesions.
Mm-hmm. And is there an effect of age on incidence of brain cancers?
So, yes, as a rule, and which is true for most cancers, is we're far more likely to develop a cancer as we get older. There is a difference, however, in the sorts of lesions that we have. So children will have medulloblastomas. Children will have grade 1 astrocytomas, which I've only ever seen one adult with a grade 1. Children will have what are called PNETs, peripheral neuroectodermal tumors. Adults, again, by far, astrocytomas, which are in the glioma families, are by far much more common, and medulloblastomas much less so.
Mm-hmm. And what are the causes of brain cancer? I mean, it always seems like we're reading an article that this causes cancer, don't eat that, don't do this. But when it comes to brain cancer, what are some of the causes?
So the one identifiable cause is radiation. And there's some data both from Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bombs and from some treatments used to treat other lesions that suggest that there's an that show that there's an increase with definitive radiation. Dietary measures, tobacco, medications, cell phones, high power lines. We don't have data that can conclusively tell us that any of those impact developing a brain lesion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some genetic factors and hereditary factors.
Mm-hmm.
They do represent a minority of cases, perhaps no more than 1 or 2%. But there are several hereditary factors that can increase the possibility that we might develop a primary brain lesion. But radiation has been the only factor that we can be conclusive.
Mm-hmm. I know it's been very controversial about the cell phone. And now, when you use your cell phone, do you use it right up to yourself, or do you put it on speakerphone and talk at a distance, or what might you recommend?
Well, I've got it right up against my right ear.
Okay.
I'm getting older, so it's got to be really close.
Okay, I understand that. Now, I'm wearing a headset right now. Am I getting radiation right now?
No.
Okay, good. Well, we'll keep talking then. Okay. So now we talked a little bit about the symptoms of brain cancers. What about tumors? I mean, is that pretty much the same thing?
It can be, although it's not that uncommon as we're doing an MRI scan. So let's just say we have a patient who has a melanoma that is fairly advanced. And we know that melanomas can go to the central nervous system fairly commonly. And so we say, well, we need to take a look at the central nervous system. So we'll do an MRI of the head. And then hopefully we won't find any melanoma spots, but we may find a meningioma, for example, which is one of those benign tumors. And many of those will be quite asymptomatic. And so the benign tumors are often symptomatic. They can also be what we call just an incidental finding. You're looking for something else, and the radiologist calls and says, hey, by the way, so-and-so has a meningioma. And they say, all right, great, that's good to know. But they can be very asymptomatic. Acoustic neuromas, schwannomas, in the middle ear region can affect your hearing. So the more common symptom from something like that, which can be hereditary, would be hearing loss.
Mm-hmm. And is there a way to treat that?
Do not usually have the ability to reverse the hearing loss. So as a rule, once you have some hearing loss, that level of hearing loss will be with you.
Okay. Okay.
But you can perhaps prevent it from getting any worse, but you, as a rule, don't make things a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is found with a tumor, then do you just watch it?
It depends. It depends on the size, depends on the location.
Uh-huh.
Even meningiomas, for example, there are different grades of meningiomas. Grade 1, which is by far the most common, they're the more indolent, the benign guys. There are grade 2s and also grade 3s, and the grade 2s and 3s actually can be more aggressive than what you'd normally associate with a benign lesion. The grade 2s and 3s absolutely need to be treated because they almost always cause symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
They also recur much more commonly. So even if you remove them or treat them with radiation, for example, they have a much higher rate of returning.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Now, how does one diagnose brain cancer?
So for an aggressive lesion, there will be symptoms that probably present either their primary care physician or perhaps the emergency room if it's something somewhat more dramatic. They'll be examined, routine blood studies performed, and usually followed up with a CAT scan will be the first test that they normally undergo. The CAT scan will very often show lesions, although sometimes for your lower level histology, slow-growing lesions, the CAT scan can be somewhat underwhelming. But with a suspicion persistent, an MRI scan follows. The MRI scan is more precise in identifying brain structures and also is the standard test used to identify, to diagnose primary brain lesions and metastatic lesions as well. And then once you've established that there's an abnormality, then the next question is it a primary lesion of the central nervous system? Is it malignant? Is it an infection? Is it a stroke or a bleed? Or did it come from somewhere else? And so you're going to need to obtain some sort of tissue diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Now, if the person has had a history of lung cancer that has been advanced, often you can make the deduction that, okay, this represents an advanced lung cancer that has spread to the brain. Same with melanoma. But without a history of mm-hmm. cancer, you need to obtain tissue, both to tell you exactly what it is, because how you treat these lesions depends on the actual histology. You need to know what kind of a cancer it is in order to treat it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So there are quite a few steps, and you end up seeing quite a few physicians and often undergo quite a few procedures before we get to the final diagnosis and get to the treatment aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. So you work with a team then?
I work with radiologists, emergency physicians, uh-huh. the primary care physicians, the neurosurgeons, and we have a fantastic group of neurosurgeons in town. We're blessed to have wonderful surgeons. And,
yes.
And in treatment-wise, we also have fantastic radiation oncology.
Mm-hmm. That's great. At this point, we are going to take a break, but we are with Dr. Francois Geoffroy talking about brain cancer and brain tumors. We'll be right back.
When diagnosed with brain cancer, you need information, determination, and Illinois Cancer Care. Illinois Cancer Care is the only oncology provider outside the Chicago and St. Louis markets to offer a fellowship-trained neuro-oncologist for patients diagnosed with brain tumors. Trained at Tisch Brain Tumor Center at Duke University Medical Center, Dr. Francois Geoffroy brings the latest knowledge in the treatment of brain tumors and cancers. To learn more about the treatments and services for patients with brain tumors, please visit IllinoisCancerCare.com. Groundbreaking research, life-saving care. Illinois Cancer Care, because life is precious.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine. And we're very pleased to have with us this morning Dr. Francois Geoffroy. And we are talking about brain cancers and brain tumors. And he is with Illinois Cancer Care, which we dearly love in the magazine. You all do some great articles for us. And we've already had some of your teammates here on air with us. So let's go on to what treatments are available for brain cancers and also brain tumors, for that fact.
So, again, the nature of the cancer itself mm-hmm. will dictate, but the sorts of treatment options are surgery has mm-hmm. a role. Radiation therapy is an essential component in many of the cancer types that we see. Chemotherapies and other, perhaps what you might consider targeted therapies, antibodies, and there's a lot of research with some of the newer agents. So, for example, if you had a primary lymphoma of the brain, the treatment would focus on medications, mm-hmm. chemotherapy, in fairly high doses, which you normally do in the hospital. For the more common glioblastoma, we have everybody assisting us. So the surgeon will be asked to do the best possible surgery, realizing that we can never remove it completely,
mm-hmm.
and also realizing that we do want to maintain the person's functional integrity as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll do the best surgery. Because surgery never removes the entire lesion, radiation is used. There's a survival benefit for doing radiation, and that will occupy another 6 weeks of time for the patient. And we combine medications with that. And if the patient is otherwise healthy, and if we happen to have a clinical trial available, we often will encourage them to participate in one of our clinical trials as we try to continue to improve upon the results of the treatments that we have available for our patients.
Mm-hmm. You know, you just mentioned clinical trials. Tell us a little bit about clinical trials and what they are.
So clinical trials are either using currently available medications, but perhaps an indication that is not yet approved, but knowing that there is information that suggests that it may be helpful. So we had a research trial a few years ago, and it was to have the best possible surgery for glioblastoma, the same radiation, the same oral medication called temozolomide, to which we added an oral medication
mm-hmm.
Called erlotinib. And this was with Mayo Clinic, and we actually were able to put 13 patients on this research trial, which made us the third largest accruer in the country after Maine Mayo in Rochester and the other Mayo in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a way to try to have a new take on the treatment or perhaps add something that we think will improve the survival or mm-hmm. improve our ability to control the cancer.
Right, and have data available
yes.
for that. Very good. And what is stereotactic radiation therapy and what are its uses? And we'll have to wrap this up kind of quickly, but if you could briefly share that with
us. So for the primary brain cancers, we'll tend to use radiation that'll be Monday through Friday for 6 weeks, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
For lesions that spread to the brain from the breast, the lung, we will, if there are not too many lesions and if the size allows, provide a much more precise three-dimensional form of radiation that allows us to give radiation to the area that requires it much more precisely with a higher dose. And we have found a much better ability to control those sorts of lesions. And also, we spare the normal brain the potential effects of radiation, such mm-hmm. as a little bit of memory loss and that kind of
stuff. Right, those kind of things that tie in. Well, this has just been absolutely fascinating, Dr. Jeff. Well, I'm so glad that you made time in your busy schedule and zipped over this morning to tape with us. I've really learned a lot and so appreciate what you and your team at Illinois Cancer Care do. Now, for more information on this topic or on Illinois Cancer Care, please call area code 309-243-3000. I'll mention that again. It's area code 309-243-3000, or you can visit IllinoisCancerCare.com. And thank you to everyone who tuned in this week and for sharing your morning time with us. This is Kim Brooks-Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. And you can visit us online on Facebook, or please contact me directly. I'd love to hear from you sometime, peoria.healthycells@hotmail.com. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again next Saturday morning.